The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate and love the Palmore family, and they do an outstanding job. Take your Bible, if you will, and go to James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 again, if I may reread this for reiteration's sake, where the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye," watch what it says, "may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I want to speak to you this morning on when the heat is on, enjoy the fire. When the heat is on, enjoy the fire. You know, there's many trials that we'll face in our life. As you were brought into this world as a young person, there was trials that was involved there. Just by you coming into this world, the mother went through the death, if you would please, of that which is walking through the depth of that which is could be death in her physical life to bring you into this world. And yet that was a trial. Perhaps there was a dad that prayed through that time of trial. When you were born, perhaps going down the highway of life. And going down the highway of life, there's all sorts of different things that pollutes us. There's all sorts of potholes. There's all sorts of troubles and trials and tribulations as we grow up in this place that's called America and living our lives. Trials are known for something. You're either have been somebody, you've either been somebody that's going through a trial, or you're coming up on a trial, or you're in the middle of a trial, but you're all going to face trials. We're going to face trials in our life. God doesn't send you a trial to make you go through trouble unnecessarily, but he allows a trial to come in your life. Stay with me now, so he can go through the trial with you. In the book of James, we understand this, that James, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was able to pen the words of this particular chapter that we're looking at in dealing with trials. Now, let me show you some things about trials, if I may. Recall the method of the trials. Now, watch this, if you will, in verse 2. The Bible says to count it all joy. Now, what does that mean, to count it all joy? Well, the word count is a financial word. It simply means this. It means to evaluate or to consider. So when you go through a trial, back off. I know we have taught our children that when you go through a trial, always number one, ask this question: what am I learning from the trial? Number two, you ask the question, is what is God trying to teach others through this trial? Number three, you ask the question, what is God trying to use me to teach others through this trial? See, trials, when they come your way, is something that we ought to count, we ought to consider, we ought to evaluate. See, James here is trying to encourage us to be able to understand the value of that which we have in the trials. We're supposed to evaluate them. We're supposed to look at them. It doesn't matter what trial you're going through. What it does matter is what you're learning from the trial while going through it. You know, trials, think about this. As we recall the methods that God uses for trials, think about this. Most of the trials are those that are unavoidable. They're unavoidable. Listen to it. The Bible says, when ye fall. Doesn't say if ye fall. Doesn't say that you might fall. He says, when ye fall. So there's going to be trials that do come in your life. Job chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, man is born of woman, full of days. Listen to it now. And full of trouble. All right, so trials are going to come. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you what, that I don't think trials ought to come. They say, well, when you get saved, that it's going to be nothing but just honey in the bucket. But they forget the bees. They forget that those flowers, if you will. They forget the trees that's involved there. They forget the rub. They forget all the problems that make the trial a blessing. Over John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. The Bible says, for in this world ye shall have tribulation. Didn't say you might, said you shall. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You think about Joseph. Joseph unquestionably had great integrity, but yet Joseph was thrown into prison. What was that? That was a trial. You think about Job. Job was blameless. He was an upright man. He feared God, but yet he lost everything that he had. Now, what was that? That was a trial. You think about Daniel. Daniel was a very committed believer, prayed 3 times a day, but yet he still wound up being thrown in the lion's den. Now, what was that? That was a trial. When the Bible says that you fall into, that means this. That means that it's unintentional. You didn't plan on falling into a trial. I don't think anybody woke up this morning and said, I can't wait. I'm going to go to church today and be tried. I can't wait to go get in my car, and I can't wait to have a flat tire. I don't think anybody plans their trials that they go through. Trials are those that are uncertain, but yet trials are going to come. If you're living and you're breathing, again, let me reiterate, if I may, you have either gone through a trial, you are either are living in a trial, or you're going to go through a trial. But trials are going to come. Understand, when you go through a trial, the Bible says to count it all joy, to count it a blessing. That means you sit down, instead of getting down and discouraged and dismayed, you sit down and say, okay, there's something for me in this trial that I need to calculate. There's something in this trial that I need to evaluate. There's something in this trial that God is trying to teach me. Because every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And so God is the one that gives us the blessing. Have you ever looked at it this way? That the trial that you're going through is not a curse. The trial that you're going through is a blessing. Because you will learn more in the trials than you will without the trials. You think over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 about the Good Samaritan. He didn't plan in it. He didn't plan in that trial of that day, but the Bible says a certain man went down, it says, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. He fell. Wasn't something he was planning on doing. It wasn't something that he could warn himself about. He just fell. So we understand this about trials. We understand that trials are unavoidable. We understand that trials are that which is unpredicted. The Bible talks about how there's divers temptations. What's that mean? That means various multicolored type of trials. It's a picture, if you would please, of maybe a pattern that's full of dots that has no sequence in them whatsoever. There's no sequence of trying to match these up. They're just kind of thrown on there. They're unavoidable. They're unpredictable. You can see that James here is writing to a people that was known for going through persecution and struggles and trials. These were people, if you would please, that had lost things. They lost jobs. They lost homes. They lost their belongings. And they're going through all sorts of trials. And he calls it, if you will, divers trials. What is divers trials? Divers trials might be a divorce. It might be trouble with your children. It might be a financial strain. It might be illness. It might be death. It might be a relationship problem. It might be something of those natures. Now, there's a difference between a trial and a temptation. When a temptation comes, that temptation, the Bible says that God himself tempts no man. James chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. So when temptation comes from the devil. When trials come from God. And there's a distinct difference. There's a difference between a temptation and a trial. Some writer wrote this, that trials are sent by God to help the person become stronger, while temptations are sent by the devil to cause a person to fall. So what is it that you're going through? Whatever you're going through, can I tell you, those trials that come your way, those trials are for your benefit. Those trials are to help you become a better person. Those trials are to help you to become a stronger believer. So recall the method of the trials. Think about it. That trial that you're going through, what is it that I can learn in that trial? Sit down, get yourself a pen out, get yourself a piece of paper, and say, God, I'm going through this trial. What are you trying to teach me? God, I'm going through this trial. What are you trying to teach others about this trial? God, I'm going through this trial. What is it that you're trying to allow me to be used of God to teach others about trials? See, trials that are sent by God to help us, not to hurt us. So many times, here's what we do. All of a sudden, when a trial comes, we get bitter. All of a sudden, when a trial comes, we get angry. All of a sudden, when a trial comes, we get mad. All of a sudden, when a trial comes, we decide we're not going to trust God anymore. That is not the reason that a trial comes in your life. A trial comes in your life to make you a stronger believer, to rely more on God, not less on God, to go to God and allow God to give you strength. So recall the method of the trial. Statement number two, then remember the meaning for trials. Remember the meaning for trials. Here's what he says down in verse 3. He says, knowing this. Now, first off, he says about that trial, that trial is going to come. When he says this in verse 2, he says, brethren, count it all joy when fall into divers temptations. He said, so when that trial comes, sit down and count it. Look at it. What are you learning from it? What could others learn from it? What could God use you to teach others about it? You sit down and you count it. You evaluate it. You look at it. You take, if you would please, the time to investigate it in your own heart. What is God, first off, trying to do with you through that which is the trial in your life? Then he says that you are going to fall into various temptations. Those temptations that lay in wait for you, they will trip you up and they will cause you sometimes even to fall in a deep pit, and you have to be careful not to make your home in the pit. Statement number two, then remember the meaning for trials. Remember the meaning for it. You know, the Bible says, knowing this. He talks about the trying, it says, of your faith. Now, why does he try our faith? It's not to prove him. It's to prove us. He said the trying of your faith. It's a test. It's a proving time. It's like the young bird, if you will, please, that has the wings, and all of a sudden, mama pushes the birdie out of the nest. It's the trying time. The idea is whether that trial will help you to become better at things that you're struggling with, to prove, if you will, that your faith is real. Do you trust him or do you run from him? You know, in the New Testament, you'll see that this has to do with the refining of gold. What would they do? They take gold, they put it in the furnace, they turn the furnace up 900 degrees or so, and what does it do? It refines the gold. You know what God does when God allows you to go through trials? It's a blessing to go through the trial. Why? Because God is refining you. God is sharp tuning you. God is helping you to become better. So trials, if you will, tests, sometimes will toughen your faith. If you allow it to toughen your faith. But if you won't allow it to toughen your faith, then what takes place is you'll make a wrong decision. You know, faith must not, stay with me now, faith must not be that which gives in when a trial comes. Faith has to rise to the top. One pastor was talking to a man that had dropped out of church, and the man said this. He said, well, I'll tell you what, preacher. He said, I've gone through so many trials and so many problems in my life. I just want to get rid of my religion. I want to lose my religion. And the wise pastor said this. He said, son, your trials and your problems ought to make you draw closer to your religion, not run from it. Amen. You can say amen right there. You see, these trials that do come over in Proverbs chapter 24 and in verse 10, the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. See, trials, listen to me, will either make you bitter or better. You choose what you want. You choose. Well, I'll tell you what, the reason I'm having so much difficulty in life is because of who my parents are. Depends on your view about your parents. Come on. You know, I don't care what your parents were like, you cannot blame your situation on your mom and daddy. Amen. You can look at it and say, well, you say, oh, it's the government's fault. Well, you can get bitter or you can get better. Amen. Well, you know, it's the neighbor's fault. You can get bitter, you can get better. Well, it's my wife's fault. You get bitter or you get better. Well, it's my mother-in-law's fault. Okay, you can get bitter. Or you can get better. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that trials do come. In testing, you'll see that God's aim, think about this, in testing, God's aim is to develop you. But when the temptations come, the devil's aim is to disgrace you. You determine how it's going to be on the outcome. The Bible says here, it says, worketh patience. So here's a person that says, well, I tell you what, I'm going to go through this. And a lot of us, we don't pass the test because when the trials come, we get frustrated, we get irritated, we become tense, and we say, well, I tell you what, I just don't want to put up with that, and you'll walk away. Be careful not to walk away when all of a sudden God is allowing you to be in the furnace. You see, don't you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they was in the fiery, burning furnace when Nebuchadnezzar came down to view them in the lip to see exactly how they were doing. They were walking around like free men, and behold, there was a fourth walking with them likened unto the Son of God. I'm saying that God can help you in every trial. God can help you in every fire that you've got, but you've got to learn to get along with God and let God be the one that will help you through the trials. What does it produce? Well, the Bible says that it'll produce patience. The Bible says that that patience will work inside of us. Over in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 13, the Bible says, it is God that worketh in us. Well, how does he do that? Many times God will work in you through a trial. Isn't it amazing how two people can walk down the same life's pathway, the same life's journey? One person will get completely irritated about a situation, and the other person smiles. What's the difference? The difference is what's on the inside comes out. That's the difference. What is patience? Patience is the ability to stand up under that which you are forced to endure. That's what patience is. The ability to stand up under that which you are forced to endure. You may not understand your trial, but your trial is sent by God oftentimes more than not to help you to stand. That's why. If you take, let me use you. If you take somebody and they're underweight, I mean, they're under the pressure of weight, and he has the weight. You have a strong back? No, you don't. Okay. Okay. And so he has the pressure of weight, and he has to pull that weight around with him. The longer he's under the pressure of weight, the stronger he gets. Then one day the weight disappears, and man, he's just as happy as can be. When I ran track and field, thank you, when I ran track and field many years ago in high school, Mike Wright, our coach, would make us wear weights. We'd have to wear the jacket that was 20 pounds. We'd have to wear the leg weights that was around the ankle, if you will, and they were 5 or 10 pounds each. And we had to wear those during practice time. And can I tell you, at the end of practice time, when we took those weights off, it was like we were floating on clouds. We could run twice or three times as fast. But those weights is what allowed us to be able to build those muscles, those weights. Look, I'm telling you, many times, here's what we do. Well, I tell you what, came to church and I was under this type of weight. Or I went down there and I witnessed to somebody and I was under this type of weight. Or I was in the hospital and I was under this type of weight. And if you're not careful, what would take place is you allow that weight to discourage you when really you ought to count yourself blessed because God thought you worthy enough to allow you the privilege to go through a trial. And that trial is helping you, not hurting you. When's the last time you broke your arm and said, God, thank you so much for the broken arm. I am so loved by you. That is supposed to be your view. God, you know, thank you so much that the car broke down. I know that you've got a blessing in this. Thank you so much for that. You say, well, that's not normal. Did it ever occur to you that you do not serve a God that is like other small g gods? He is the God of the universe. And did it ever occur to you that his ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and our thoughts are not his thoughts? Did it ever occur to you that maybe we ought to think what God thinks, and maybe we ought to pick up the book and allow God to direct us in our paths, because God says, hey, listen, in so doing that, I'll turn your trial into a blessing. Statement number one, there's the recalling of the method for the trial. Statement number two, remember the meaning of the trial. Let me give you one last thought, and that is this, realize the ministry of the trials. You know, inside of a trial, we see this. The word perfect is mentioned here. Look, if you will, in verse 4. The Bible says, and let patience, it says, have her perfect work. Now, what does it mean, perfect? What does it mean to have perfect? That means complete. In other words, while you're in the trial, let it work on you all it can. You may not visit that trial again, so enjoy being in it all you can. Enjoy learning every avenue that's in that trial. Enjoy the pleasure that the trial can bring to be able to complete you and to mature you. One young Christian man decided he was going to start a business, and so he went out and he purchased a bunch of trees, and I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and he decided he was going to have a pear business. And so he had his pear trees out there, and all of a sudden now everything was going well. He worked on very hard. He invested his life savings in it. They were beautiful. They were blooming. The orchard looked like it was going to be very productive. Then in came the frost. When the frost came, the entire crop was totally destroyed. The next month, he had not been in church for a month, and so his pastor went by to see him and said, I've been missing you. You've not been in church. And he said, I'd like to know why you're not in church. He said, how can I worship a God that cares so little about my crop that God killed my crop? The pastor wisely spoke back, and he said, God loves you more than he loves your peaches. And yet you understand that peaches cannot grow without there being a frost that it would go through from time to time. Christians also cannot grow without trials. You see, God is not in the business of growing peaches. God is in the business of growing you as a Christian. So when you go through trials, it's because God is trying to grow you in an area. God is trying to help you in an area. And if you decide that you will allow God to help you in that area, then that ministry that God will give you will be that ministry of having those things completed. It will enrich you. It will encourage you. If you allow that to help you, I still think we look at it wrong. I do. Well, you know, I've got a toothache, and I've got to go to the dentist, and I'm just not sure that, oh, it's just so terrible. God, why is it? I mean, I love you. I'm serving you. I don't deserve to have a toothache. Look, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're going to negate the fact that you've got to go to the dentist from time to time. You're human. Well, God, I just don't understand. I should have full energy. I mean, after all, you know, I'm only 72, and where'd my energy go? But, you know, as you grow older in grace. Come on. I'm saying this. I'm saying that when trials do come in your life, look at it differently. Look at it differently. Don't look at the trial and say, God, I don't deserve this. You're right. You deserve worse. If you and I got what we rightfully deserve, today we'd be burning in hell. But because of the good grace of God that gives us heaven, and because of the good mercy of God that holds back the judgment of hell, you and I can rejoice today because of the fact that if we're a child of God, we're going to go to heaven. But can I tell you, just because you're saved, it does not mean that you're not going to go through trials. You're going to have trials in your life. What do? All of a sudden when the trials come, sit down. Don't get mad at God. Don't run from it. Get yourself out a pad. Get yourself a pen. Write down, God, what are you trying to teach me through this trial? There's a reason you allowed me to go through this trial and nobody else. So you think, by the way. There's a reason that I'm in this financial crisis. There's a reason that I'm dealing with this child. There's a reason that I'm dealing with this business. There's a reason that my husband's having difficult times. My wife is having difficult times. Our house is having struggles. Our cars are breaking down. God, there's a reason for all this. But see, what we do, instead of going to God and saying, God, I want to learn. I want to take my time. That's why the Bible says that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't say you run through the valley. Right. He doesn't say you sit down and mourn in the valley. He says you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because as you walk casually through that valley of the shadow of death, you're going to see things that you never saw before. You're going to learn a lot of things in the valley you would never learn on the mountaintop. You realize that most of the Psalms that David penned was when David, if you would please, was living in a life-threatening situation. Do you realize that there was Pilgrim's Progress?
Yes.
And where was it written?
Yes.
It was written in prison on bottle stop tops.
Right.
John Bunyan, in prison. Don't forget there was Paul and Silas that sang in prison at midnight. See, you go through the trials, you decide how you're going to let that trial help you, hurt you, better you, or bitter you. You decide. You can decide tonight or this morning or next week or next month. You can decide when that trial comes in your life, you can predetermine how you're going to face that trial. You can predetermine it. I was visiting somebody in the hospital and they had cancer. And I said, so how you doing? And the person said, oh, I'm doing great. I said, is there anything I can do for you? Person said, no, preacher. I'm just as happy as can be. Is there anything I can do for you? And I said, no, I'm pretty happy too. And the person said, well, thank you so much for coming by. And she said, oh, preacher, just by the way, let me tell you. She said, if it gets worse and I die, can't beat heaven, can you?
Amen.
Hey, that's a pretty good attitude.
Amen.
I was pastoring up in Tennessee, and one of our good members, had a heart attack. And boy, I think it was Mrs. McNair at the time. And you remember her, Mrs. McNair?
No, McNaught.
Who was it?
McNaught.
I was over in Kentucky, and I was coming back. He was one of my church members back years ago in Tennessee. And I was coming back, and boy, I had that thing going 90 miles an hour, and I was trying to get to the hospital. And I got there, and as soon as I was struggling. I mean, I was crying, and you know, I was hurting for her, and I was praying for her all the way from Kentucky over to Tennessee. And I walked into the hospital room, and my reception was this: what are you doing here? I said, well, I heard you had a heart attack, and I thought you might want me to come. No, preacher, don't waste your time here. There are people out there that need Christ.
Well,
you're a soul winner. She said, don't waste your time coming in here to visit me. Now, young man, you get out of here, and you go out there, and you help somebody that needs it.
Well, amen.
And I thought, I got a ticket. I was late. I go spinning into the parking lot, only to get chewed out by a precious saint saying, what are you doing here? Get out of here. Now, I'm saying this. We all face trials different ways. Those trials are meant to enrich you. What do they do? They mature you. Let me give one last thing. That trial, that ministry, if you will, please, through that trial will also encourage you. It will enrich you. It will encourage you. A crippled lady went to her pastor, and she was trembling, and she was weeping, and she says, why has God made me this way? Why has God made me this way? He answered it this way. He said, God made you this way because God is making you. God is making you. So why is it that some people have trouble walking, other people don't? Because God's working with them as a unique individual. Come on, don't get mad at God. Let God have his perfect way in your life. Why is it when I study, I can't get A's and all I can do is get C's? Well, it might be that if you're giving it still your very best, that God is using you in other areas. We have four children. We have three boys, precious girl. And can I tell you, they're all uniquely and differently made. Some of my children are very patient. Some are impatient. Some of our children are very loving and kind, giving. And others, are working on becoming more. We're all different. By the way, when I married my wife, I was not the same as she was. I was a single man, and I was used to being a single man. I'd walk into my apartment. I'd take my my outer shirt off. I threw it over there. Basket. 3 points. Basket. I'd miss. Leave it be. I'll get it later. Remember the first time I did that after I got married? You know, walked in. I was sweating. Took my outer shirt off. 3-pointer. Missed it. Turned around. My wife said, "Whoa." She said, "What are you doing? You missed." I said, "I'll get it later." She said, "Honey, really?" I said, "What do you mean, really?" She said, "Really? You're going to leave that on the floor?" I said, "No, I'm going to pick it up right now." Picked it up, put it in. Different. Just different. One guy married, and he was always used to putting all the lids on the stoppers there in the refrigerator, you know, ketchup and all this other stuff. And his wife was not used to doing that at all. He had a habit. He'd always get out and shake it. Let me finish my story. He'd get out and shake it. So he got it out and never tested the top of it. Newly married, not used to each other's habits. So he got it out and started to go like this, ketchup. He looked at his wife. She just smiled and said, "I love you." Hey, can I tell you, different people are different ways. And sometimes God will allow different ones to be in your life. Look at it as a blessing. Well, if I knew he was going to be that way, I never would have married him. And he probably says the same thing about you, just not to your face. You know, allow that to be a blessing. Work with each other and allow God to work in you. There's a ministry when trials come. There's a ministry. Come on. And the ministry when a trial comes in your life ought not to be that you make everybody else miserable because of your trial. You let God work with you. Let God work with you. One night, Rebecca was staying at somebody's house, and she does nannying. And she was crying and stuff when she left the parking lot. Something happened. I had no idea what. And I said, let me come by where you're nannying tonight. She was spending the night. Let me come by where you're nannying. Let me pick you up. Let's talk. By the way, dads are good for that. Dads are good for that. So I picked her up in the car. She got on my truck. And when I got done counseling, she got in and she said, "Daddy, I don't understand. I'm trying so hard." She said, I shouldn't allow things to bother me, but this bothered me. And I said, "Okay, I don't even need to know what went on. I'm going to tell you. Here's what you need to do. When a trial comes, first off, evaluate, God, what are you trying to teach me in this?" I said, "So, honey, what is it that God's trying to teach you?" And she said, "Well, be patient with friends. Love people no matter what they do. Always be there for them if they'll never be there for you." I mean, she's telling me these things. I'm thinking, wow, that's a sermon somewhere. She's telling me all these things. And I said, "Okay, what do you think that God is teaching others that was in this with you?" She said, "Well, I don't know, but possibly." I said, "Okay, what is God teaching you whereby later on you'll be able to teach others because you went through this?" By the time we got done, here's what she said. She said, "You know, I am so glad I went through this. Because when I look back, I never would have learned these lessons." Come on. See, God had to show himself precious to her as she evaluated. By the way, when you do that, you'll never get bitter towards someone. You'll never get angry towards someone. Because it's always in check about me. Me. It's not about somebody else. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. God, how are you helping me? God, what are you teaching me? God, how are you working on me? God, what do you have for me? God, how are you leading me? It's not about, I'm going to get even with, no, it's about me. Well, I'm going to take care, it's not, it's about me. So what is it that God is allowing you to go through that's a blessing whereby he can teach you?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.